Well, we're really excited.
Good evening, everyone. We're going to call tonight's meeting to order. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Present.
Ms. Laird?
Present.
Ms. Leone?
Jacinta.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
And Mr. Cologne?
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Before we continue on, Attorney Stewart, the City Council solicitor, is away on a professional trip. So one of our partners, Attorney Gudzusian, couldn't be here in person tonight, but he is available on the go-to that we see over here in case we need have any questions for the solicitor this evening. We have a few citations tonight for recent city retirees. I believe Mr. Stefanella is here, if I'm not mistaken. So, Mr. Stefanella, if you don't mind coming to the lecture, I'm going to read what we have. And whereas the residents of the City of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated, diligent, and talented member of the Bethlehem Fire Department for 20 years. And whereas Jeffrey A. Stefanella, who started with the fire department in 2004 and retired in 2024, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost in reliable and outstanding service to the fire department and the residents of the City of Bethlehem. Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Lieutenant Jeffrey A. Stefanella be extended the gratitude of the City of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his two decades of service and the special contributions he has made to promote public safety and to protect the lives and property of Bethlehem residents. Be it further resolved now that Jeffrey is retired, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer him. And be it further resolved that Jeffrey be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement. From all of us, the members of the City Council. Thank you. You don't have to make a speech, but you're welcome.
No, that's good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Congratulations.
And then we have a few other citations. I don't believe they're in-house this evening, but for Michael Zukowski, John Palmer, and Doug Knothstein. So we will make sure that they all get their citations via mail. Moving on to the approval of minutes for the May 7, 2024 City Council meeting. Any feedback or notes on the minutes for May 7? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment. I remind everyone of the 5-minute time limit, which I ask everyone to continue to observe as we've been for the last few meetings. We'll start with anything not being voted on this evening, and I'll go around the room to our YouTube audience. I remind you, if you want to watch the meeting live, feel free to scroll ahead to the most current portion of the meeting. We have 7 individuals signed up tonight, starting with Mary Jo McCool. And I ask everyone, please state your name for the record so Mr. Miller can record it.
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. There are 6 branches of the military: the Coast Guard, the Space Force, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and the Army. If there are any veterans here tonight, I would like you to stand. I now ask those in the audience. I want to do a short presentation.
United States Coast Guard.
Okay. I just want to thank anyone who served to protect our nation. I had four members of my family serve in World War II. All thankfully came home safe and sound. I've had members of my family in the Air Force, in the Navy, and I just truly appreciate the fact that they defended our nation. And I would like to just honor one council member with a...
Thanks, Mary Jo.
Mm-hmm. A little token of my appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. And just a little context, if anyone missed it, May is Military Appreciation Month. Our next speaker tonight is Mr. Mark Will Weber.
Mark Will Weber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue, here for the drip. It's a hard act to follow, but I'll see what I can do here. I mentioned the last time I was in that Gene McNeil has a House Bill 905. Gene's a state rep over in Lehigh County. And the bill concerns a red flag usage. In other words, people that get blindsided by these mega bills would, in theory, if Gene's bill was passed, get warned a month into it instead of 3 months. So in theory, it would still be a little pain, but not as much pain. A pretty good thing, I think. And I think it's interesting because a lot of the other local reps have now co-sponsored Gene's bill, such as Bob Freeman from Easton and Steve Samuelson from Bethlehem, and a bunch of Lehigh County guys, Peter Schoyer, Mike Sloshberg, and Josh Siegel. And actually, she has, I think, more than a dozen co-sponsors of this bill. And I think they're lined up behind it because they can see the righteousness of it. They can see how their constituents have been hurt by the way that things currently are, and that this could make a difference. It's a very small thing, but it would be something. It would be a small win for the good guys, and we are the good guys, by the way, as opposed to the bureaucrats that are making big money at the top, being sewer and water czars. So anyway, what we're doing at the DRIP, and we're over 330 members at this point, back at Thanksgiving, we had about 20 members, so we're getting bigger. And we came out last month and supported Bob Freeman in his election. He won by quite a number of votes, so I don't think he necessarily needed our support, but I know we got him a couple dozen votes down in Easton and Freemansburg and places where people weren't going to vote. We said, hey, well, you got to vote for this guy because he's supporting us on these water issues. So had he only won by a dozen votes, I think he would have been thankful for that. I've known Bob for 20 years. He's a great guy, but I don't think I would have backed him if he hadn't been supporting Gene's bill. So we're going to do a lot more of that as we go forward. And hopefully by this time next year, we'll have closer to 1,000 members. So we're going to have a little more clout, a little more say in these things. And we're going to support people, state reps, and anybody else who is supporting our side of the water thing. Okay? And it won't be a big loss for the city. It'll be kind of like the king tipping the banquet scraps over the castle wall for the peasantry. But we'll get a little something out of it. So, I mean, to put it down to brass tacks, in my situation where I lost, I don't know, $500 and something, we would have probably been closer to $200 had I had this early warning system. And they can do it if they want to do it, if they have the will to do it. And I would say if they don't do it, then you'll know that basically they don't want to part with their little side revenue because it would be the right thing to do. You're going to save water, going to save a lot of money for the little guy, and you're going to save a lot of emotional stress on the people that get hit with this. I got to meet a bunch of these other state reps from other places when I spoke at the meeting last April. And they're an interesting set of guys. There's a guy down in Montgomery County, Joe Ceresi. And I said, Joe, you know, as a state rep, what got you interested in this water thing? And he said, well, Mark, he said, the problem is I got a call from one of my retirees, and her sewer and water bill had doubled. And he said, and she was using her backyard to go to the bathroom. So that's what happens when there's no supervision of these people. Now, in his case, it's a private for-profit water company, and they're far worse than any of the municipal water companies. So if you guys ever get approached by a private for-profit water company, run the other way and do your citizens a favor, because they're really bad. I'm not a big fan of the people here, but I'll pay them a backhanded compliment and say the for-profit water companies are far worse. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker this evening, Ms. Sally Wilweber.
Sally Wilweber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue. Thank you again for allowing us to speak. We'd also like to thank the media for keeping our issue relevant. Since our whole situation with water, I've become much more aware of social media and much more connected to it. So I currently belong to some groups, The Drip, of course, Friends of Bethlehem, Complainers of Bethlehem, Montchunk Road Neighbors, and several times in the last month there have been complaints about the Bethlehem Water Department. And one of the main complaints has been how the installation of the new meters are going. Many people think the scheduling is not convenient and puts them in a situation where they have to take work off or have to be there. One woman complained that after her new meter was installed, she had over $2,000 of damage in her basement because of a leak that was caused by the installation. She contacted the water department and said they were arrogant, indifferent, and claimed it was not their responsibility, even though they're the ones who turned the water off, put the meter in, and turned it back on. She was hoping her home insurance was going to pay for it because she didn't have the money to cover it. I honestly understand how this could happen because there appears to be a wide range of competence in the department. We were very lucky to have a veteran, Rick, come out to do our first meter change. He wasn't comfortable turning our water off in the basement due to the age of our pipes and the turnoff valve. So he made the decision to turn the water off at the curb. That's how it was discovered that our outside turnoff had disintegrated and was not functional due to its age. When the meter was changed, we had a younger technician who arrived and wanted to turn the water off in the basement. I insisted he turn it off outside, and he was not happy about that at all and argued with me. If we had not had that water turned off outside at the curb, we could have been in the same situation because who knows what would happen with that old valve had been closed and then reopened. Another complaint consistently is about the rising bills. One woman, I found this very interesting, one woman said that she had a crazy bill and called the water department. She had a plumber come in and it was discovered that she did have a loose flapper, which is what the department says all the time. You have a running toilet, you have a loose flapper. She had it repaired. And when she went into the water department with confirmation, she said she was so pleasantly surprised and said they were very easy to talk to. And upon her confirmation, their confirmation of her bill and repair, they reversed the charge. And she was charged for her average consumption. I have to say I was shocked. I thought, wow, maybe they're finally willing to give the customer a break. During our back and forth, I mentioned the Bethlehem Water Department, and she immediately responded. She's like, oh no, this wasn't Bethlehem Water Department. I live in Easton. This was the Easton Water Department. So that explained why she got the treatment she did. Why is it that the Easton and the Northampton Water Departments have no problem helping their customers, and it isn't even in the realm of possibility for the Bethlehem Department to even think of it? So please create this committee to oversee this department. If other local water departments can show compassion and a willingness to work with their residents, why is it that beyond reach in Bethlehem? Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Bill Shire.
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. Two unrelated topics. I'm inspired by Military Appreciation Month to relate a letter that I read in the Morning Call recently from an amateur historian about the B-29, which you know was recently parked at the airport. As a matter of fact, it's there again today, and it'll be there tomorrow morning. Thousands of them were built in World War II, and it had a range of thousands of miles, which was a requirement for using it in the Pacific. And it's big. It's not by today's standards, but an awful lot bigger than the B-17, which is sometimes strikes me as an overgrown fighter plane. But anyway, the letter from an amateur historian, some of you may find interesting. It seems that the B-29 in its trial period had a number of problems. And pilots were anxious about actually flying it. And so what they did, according to this gentleman, they got two women to learn how to fly the plane, and they taught the men how to fly the B-29. The other thing I want to mention is another thing in the Morning Call about the annual survey of the Census Department, and the population of Bethlehem is estimated to have increased by 600 people from 2022 to 2023. So that strikes me as somewhere between 300 and 400 apartments, which seems about right. And at that rate, we will hit 80,000 in 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Next speaker is Artie Curatola.
Hi, I'm Marty Curatola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but since they brought it up at the Bethlehem Water Department, a little while back I had a situation where they had to come out to turn the water off, and they couldn't get the valve off, so they had to use some special tools. And the special tools, with the vibration and everything, cracked my concrete. It still broke to this day, and it's about 2 years. They still haven't done nothing with it. With replacing it, but that's the one problem. The other problem is, I like to make a public comment. I washed my hands over in the Bethlehem Public Library, and I had all these great rings that I had for about 35 years. I set them up there. I guess I forgot to take my ginkgo biloba that morning. I left the rings there, and however, the following day I realized I didn't have my rings. So, however, if anybody's listening about that, if you got those rings that you found in the library basement, return them. I'll give you way more money than you would get on the streets for selling those rings. I promise. And the pinky ring, that's a diamond, you can keep that. Because that doesn't have sentimental value. I found that in Atlantic City by a pawn shop. I guess somebody lost a lot of money in Atlantic City and they thought, here, take my ring too. So I waited around and nobody claimed the ring for about an hour. But things that ring doesn't have any... It's worth about $1,000. But here you have it on here with the city. I will not press charges for you for not returning that ring. Just give me the other rings and I'll give you money on top of it. I just like to get my six rings that I had from people that were special to me throughout the course of the years. And they're no longer part of the cert. So if possible, whoever hears this and it gets to the right person that picked up those rings, return them, and I'll make it well worth your while. and you keep the pinky ring. The other thing is, ArtsQuest, I would think twice about investing in ArtsQuest. For, since last year, been trying to get things resolved. They have me barred from doing anything with ArtsQuest, entertaining-wise. I do stand-up comedy, and I'm a musician. And there was a little problem where the person who runs the comedy section, I'm not going to mention his name, don't get uptight about that, but however, the thing is, I gave him a start when I started the all-girl comedy shows back in 1986. The first guy to book girl, girl, girl comics. And I had it coined with the phrase that I coined back way back in the day called Girls Night Out. He would come into my shows and ask to do some time. I said, it's only for girls. He said, well, put me on beforehand. So I put him on beforehand. One time he was losing the crowd, the third table was about to leave, and I cut him off after 10 minutes, and he was insulted. He said, one day you'll get back at me. He did. I performed at the Bankel Cinema for a standing ovation for a packed house, just a few seats that were vacant. Nobody left through in my comedy performance. He wound up calling me a racist. Well, I've been called worse. I've been called anti-Semitic. But the thing is, he called me a racist. And I perform Mexican restaurants for all over the place. For 5 years, going on the Mexico Lindo the second Saturday of every month, I'm there. But the thing is, I'm a racist because I wound up saying, pardon some of the empty seats, my Mexican girlfriend couldn't be here tonight with 43 of her friends and family members because the minivan broke down. Now, that was considered racist. And especially to where I wound up saying, you know, like, you gotta excuse things too, because like us Italians, we're like Puerto Ricans with good credit. That was racist. However, he said, I'll never perform ArtsQuest again. They not only stopped me from performing at the comedy section, but also for the music. Where does that tie in? And 7 years, Grace tried to organize things and get things together with the head of ArtsQuest, and she was ducking her for over a year. Finally, she gave her a few minutes and she said, well, we're going to let time see what happens if time goes on and give it a little time. 7 years, how much time you want? I'm old and gray now, what the hell? You know, what the heck? Okay, but the thing is, like, really, ArtsQuest, a nonprofit organization, and they will exploit people and take your money.
Thank you, Mr. Caratolo.
Thank you. God bless.
Our next speaker is Valerie Newman.
Hi. You'll have to forgive if I'm a bit off the cuff today. I'm here pinch hitting on this topic, and I actually didn't intend to speak today. But after the last meeting, several of my friends and fellow organizers agreed that we disagreed strongly with the characterization of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. at the last meeting by Councilman Callahan and by members of the public, and we wanted to set the record straight. As this is last minute, I'll be relying heavily on the words of MLK himself. I read a little bit from the letter from Birmingham Jail last time. I feel the need to revisit it today. I feel like this really needs to be said. I'd like to first point out that activists in this community have had MLK weaponized against us, used to criticize us. The letter from Birmingham Jail was written as a response to criticism. He starts by saying, while confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely. Seldom do I pause to answer criticism of my work and ideas. If I sought to answer all the criticisms that crossed my desk, my secretaries would have little time for anything other than such correspondence in the course of the day, and I would have no time for constructive work. So that is our short answer to criticism, I would say. I think we can take quite a bit of response to criticism from this letter. It's just as relevant now as it was in 1963. And jumping ahead a little to where I read from last week, you may well ask, why direct action? Why sit-ins, march-ins, and so forth? Isn't negotiation a better path? You are quite right in calling for negotiation. Indeed, this is the very purpose of direct action. Nonviolent direct action seeks to create such a crisis and foster such a tension that a community which has constantly refused to negotiate is forced to confront the issue. It seeks so to dramatize the issue that it can no longer be ignored. By citing the creation of tension as part of the work of the nonviolent resistor may sound rather shocking, but I must confess that I'm not afraid of the word tension. I've earnestly opposed violent tension, but there is a type of constructive nonviolent tension which is necessary for growth. Just as Socrates felt that it was necessary to create a tension in the mind so that individuals could rise from the bondage of myths and half-truths to the unfettered realm of creative analysis and objective appraisal, so must we see the need for nonviolent gadflies to create the kind of tension in society that will help men rise from the dark depths of prejudice and racism to the majestic heights of understanding and brotherhood. This last part I'm going to quote is one of the most famous parts of the letter, and one I think applies the most to this council. It is appalling to see how badly Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy has been co-opted by moderates. Some of you in this room would have hated him. Honestly, some of you in this room would have hated him. That is what we saw at the last meeting, this co-option. Let's hear what he has to say about the white moderate. I must confess that over the past few years, I've been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I've almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizens' counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but cannot agree with your methods of direct action, who paternalistically believes he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait for a more convenient season. And I want to emphasize this last part. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. Truly, like Martin Luther King Jr., I could never have written anything that expressed it the way he did. But just to see his legacy co-opted in a way that is the opposite of what he believed in, just, it grinds my gears, and this is representing a whole group of people that felt the same way. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Harry Faber.
Harry Faber. So on Saturday, May 18th, at around 8 a.m., I was rushed to St. Luke's Hospital in an ambulance. My mom found me passed out on the floor, unresponsive, in our bathroom. It took roughly 5 minutes for me to wake up. And I mean roughly. My stepdad was straight smacking me up, you know. Before I knew what was going on, or what really happened, the paramedics were there, and I was on the gurney and en route to the hospital. And as I'm in the ambulance, slowly but surely regaining my wits as the cold saline solution filled my veins, I began to cry. Not because of the horrified look on my mom's face, not because of the worry about my own health, concern, not knowing what happened. I cried because I didn't know how I was going to be able to afford this. Not only was I missing a shift, a double, for both of my jobs, as I was going to work a double that day, but I was also accruing God knows how much medical debt. And I didn't know what happened or what was wrong with me, but I did know that 65% of bankruptcies come from medical debt, and that ambulances are ridiculously expensive. This is like a systemic issue. This is a system issue. It's not, and I'm not here coming because I want, you know, my day's labor that I missed out from passing out. Oh, by the way, I'm fine now. I was dehydrated. I worked three doubles in a row. Didn't drink, didn't really eat. Two 12-hour shifts and a 14-hour. and I just wasn't eating, wasn't drinking, I was dehydrated. I'm good now. But these are systemic issues, a direct result of our economic system. The profit motive has been integrated into every aspect of our lives. As I'm not sure what your name is.
Dread.
That's it. Okay. But the profit motive is in every aspect of our lives. You know, whether it comes to healthcare, whether it comes to food, whether it comes to housing. I went to the public housing meeting, the opening doors, and I didn't want to, there was already people complaining about issues that I didn't really care about. My biggest problem with that meeting was the focus on ADUs. When we look at ADUs, what is it really? Okay, so we're taking a property owner and we're subsidizing a developer, a residential unit being built onto the premises, onto the property. When you really take a step back, and yeah, there's 20 years or maybe it's a 100-year thing, that's really, if you think about it, just a shortcut for property owners, for homeowners, into becoming landlords, into extracting working people's money for something they didn't do. They're not building the houses, they're not building these units, but they're profiting off of it. And I know, I believe most of the value is going to go from the rent into, you know, the city or whatever it was. But when you look at how the profit motive is integrated in every aspect, why, we have to ask ourselves why. Why is every second of our lives being extracted? Why are we selling all, this isn't normal. Why was my first instinct in that ambulance, how am I going to afford this? Is that what we want? We have to ask ourselves that. Is that what we want for society, for somebody who works two jobs full time? Now the problem with my position is I work part time at a warehouse, and my other job is I run a bread rack. Now I'm an independent contractor. I don't have private health insurance. I don't get paid days off. That's a problem. I can't, if I don't work, I didn't work that day, I missed out on $200-$300. That's so much money. It might not be a lot of money to you guys, but that is so much money, especially people who are just getting by. And that's not just my personal experience. That is my personal experience, but so many other people. The one lady behind me was talking about how that increase in the water bill, she couldn't afford it. People are living paycheck to paycheck. That's what we need to be talking. Yes, our tax dollars are going to fund a genocide. That is what's going on. That is literally what's happening. And you're not directly doing that. But we need to look at these issues of where our money is going. We're not investing in the people. We're not investing in infrastructure. The workload hasn't gone down. We produce more than ever. We're past the age of the Industrial Revolution. We produce more than ever. And yet people are still scraping by and we're wasting more than ever. So we need to take a broader look at our system and acknowledge that this system is flawed. You don't have to be a communist. But Jesus Christ, communism is still newer than capitalism. Capitalism is, what, 300-400 years old? Communism is, like, almost 200. You don't have to be a communist, but Jesus Christ, don't be a diehard capitalist. Look at the system and how, inherently, the people at the top continue to build and build their wealth while siphoning it from the working people at the bottom. I sell all my time, all my labor, and I reap none of the rewards. I have a say in what I consume. I don't fetishize any commodities. I barely buy anything. I barely consume at all. I spend most of my money on food, and I'm still struggling living paycheck to paycheck. Now, the beauty of democracy is the ugliness. We don't have to agree. We don't have to like each other. Hell, you can literally hate me, despise me. But at the end of the day, democracy is about coming together and working towards a betterment of society. At the end of the day, as long as we all have the same goal, being the betterment of society, not a particular group or caste, in the long run, we'll figure it out.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. I'm glad you're making a recovery.
Thank you.
That exhausts our list of those who had signed up before the meeting. I'll go around the room, starting to the left. I'll work my way to my right. Was there anyone to the left who would make comment on anything not being voted on in the back row, and then I'll move to the front.
Drew Swetberg, been an adjunct professor at Moravian, paying taxes in Bethlehem. I mentioned this last meeting, I just want to put it back on the attention largely because I'm not going to be here for the meeting in 2 weeks, and I do think that we all deserve an answer, now not in a way that's like telling or asking the solicitor to rush this answer, but I do think we do need an answer to this, so I'm just going to read the email that I sent. Again, this is in no way a response to, I know the solicitor is not here, I also sent this email to the wrong email, and followed up today with the right email, so this may take a little bit of time, but I do want to keep this in circulation. So in the March 5th meeting, the solicitor read section 709 pretty much verbatim, which I, and this is from my email, which I understand to be about agenda items and notice. You then read section 712.1, this is the solicitor, but from the recording I confirmed that exceptions, as provided in subsection B, C, D, and E, which precede the language you read in the official text of the Sunshine Act, were not referenced. I'm most interested in subsection D, which reads, and this is, you know, 712.1 Sunshine Act is saying, you know, what are the things that you can do in relationship to putting something on the agenda or having something that's not on the agenda. And there are these exceptions for things that are not on the agenda. So in reference to this meeting, there was a ceasefire resolution that was not put on the agenda. We proposed that it was put on that agenda that night. We were then read 712.1. And my question, again, for the solicitor, just to keep this in circulation, is subsection D reads exactly, and I'll quote it, business arising during meeting. If during the conduct of a meeting, a resident or taxpayer brings a matter of agency business that is not listed on the meeting agenda to the attention of the agency may take official action to refer the matter to staff, if applicable, for the purpose of researching the matter for inclusion on the agenda of a future meeting. Or, if the matter is de minimis in nature and does not involve the expenditure of funds or entering into a contract or agreement, the agency may take official action on the matter. And again, I'm going to read from my email. While it may feel futile to look back at the past, I am curious if what we were initially asking in that moment, one, for council to motion and second the action to put the resolution we drafted on the agenda, two, to then vote on that motion, three, to then discuss and amend as needed, and then four, to vote, would fall within subsection D of Sunshine Act section 712.1. My understanding is that this was, quote, a matter of agency business, affirmed by the majority of our council members the meeting before, and with plenty of time to research, as well as hearing an additional 278 minutes of public comment. That also is, quote, de minimis in nature and does not involve the expenditure of funds or entering into a contract or agreement. This is all true. I am honestly confused as to how the council was not able to take official action on the matter, and how this was framed as not possible at the moment of discussion by council, which then cascaded into everything that we've experienced the last month or so. Again, I'm only here to keep this in circulation, knowing I won't be here in 2 weeks to keep this in circulation. I will be watching the city council meeting on the YouTube stream, and I really would love a response, like an official response to this, because I am deeply concerned that this was a violation of the Sunshine Act, or, you know, at its worst, or maybe at its best, just something that should have been read that night. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'll follow up with Attorney Stewart, who I believe you said you emailed today.
I did. Yeah.
Understood. And then I would just ask anyone if every email, whether it's our council solicitor, all of our emails, mine included, are on the city website. Always feel free to copy, whether it's Mr. Miller, or city clerk, the clerk's office, or myself on anything like that.
Send it to the clerk or is it anyone else?
The clerk can always forward anything to all of council.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes. I'm not going that way. Eddie Rodriguez, 13th Avenue, Bethlehem. Good evening, everybody. I went to Cherokee Street, and I went around Pawnee Street, Cherokee Street. I didn't go up Seneca at all. But I took a bird's eye view of what was happening in reference to the garbage, and particularly that, and the garbage containers. I went on Sunday. And if anybody knows who I am with reference to my first coming to city council meetings, that was one of my topics. It was important for me to keep the city clean. So that's why I did it, because there was a complaint about where I used to live years ago. That was part of my growing up, Pawnee Street. And that has changed over the years. But I didn't see... what I saw was garbage containers practically at every house in the front, neatly stacked, two and three sometimes. I did see on a rare occasion, well, let me just state this, the garbage cans practically all were empty. I guess the garbage sanitation department came and took care of that matter before Sunday. So Maybe I went on the wrong day. But I would like to go back and, you know, I'm not the police, but if you're going to complain about something like that, make sure you have the story right. The other thing was speeding. I didn't see anything about speeding. At the time when I used to live there, yes. I believe it still goes on. Yes. I did see sporty vehicles there. Yes. And part of what happens there are those type of vehicles. But again, I'm not blaming anybody for that. Enough of that. Council does not have absolutely nothing to do with what happens in Gaza. No genocide. The president of Israel, or prime minister, has kept on bombing Gaza. Yes, people are suffering and dying. For that, I also don't want it to happen. But what can council do? Absolutely nothing. They can recommend, but by the time that they get notice to be on the president's desk, God knows that if it already gets there, because so much mail gets there by the bags, tons and tons of mail. I don't expect council to do anything about that. They can recommend, send a letter out, if that's what you want, fine. But don't blame them for what's happening in Gaza. Council didn't do anything to those people. The bombing goes on, people are suffering. But again, it's nobody here in the United States that's doing that. There are protests, and it keeps on going, and it's getting worse. But again, people are in peace on this side of the United States. By example, we should all follow that. But we fear, and we don't want anything to happen to those folks, but it is happening. We all feel sorry for the Palestinian people. I do personally, myself. Some people here, when they come to a council meeting, they have at the time, not as much now. There's been a calm here. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm sure everybody else is. There's been a clicking of fingers and bringing food into council hall. This is not allowed. It's a disturbance. But council has been patient about this. They haven't said anything about this. They were asking, but they haven't said anything. Foul language has been used towards council members, and it's a disrespect towards everyone that attends, especially those that are, we should be looking out for, our own children that come here with their parents. I strongly suggest that muscle-type shirts be not used here at council meetings. I don't think it's proper. If you want to attend, then dress properly. I got just two more. If you don't,
Mr. Rodriguez, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to wrap it up.
Fine, I'll wrap it up. Being allowed to be recognized by your peers doesn't solve anything. Council members should not respond to questions by speakers. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Was there anyone else to the left who wants to make comment who hasn't had a chance to speak? I turn to the wide center. Is there anyone in the center who wants to make comment who has not had a chance to speak? Up in the very back. Yes, sir.
Today's topic is a little bit different than the last meeting. I'm actually here about more or less based on, again, I guess I'll keep on the topic of water. For some of you who don't know, I'm disabled, so I don't drive, and I get everywhere on foot. I've been all around on foot for years now. I know. The one thing I've noticed I've been struggling with recently, because it's getting hotter, is places to drink water. Like I heard from my mother that down in Arizona, it's illegal to deny a person a cup of water if they come into a business looking for water. And out here, I've noticed sometimes that happens. I would go into a place and ask for water and get shunned out immediately, even if I just want water. Like, I understand you have to pay when you're in a business and all that, but if you gotta pay for something that has flavor in it, it might as well just be something with flavor. It shouldn't have to be water. Water is something that all our bodies need to survive. We're like 75% water. We can go weeks without food, but you can't really go so long without water. You could start feeling the effects of dehydration in about like an hour walking outside, or at least for me. And I noticed you have water fountains here. You have one on Rose Garden, you got one in the Greenway area, but a lot of them, all of what I've seen, they don't work. And it's kind of hard to be walking to places where I gotta go and be really, really thirsty and see a water fountain, get excited to drink from it, only to have it not work. And then I'm hot there again, so now I have to go even further, hoping that there's a store or something that would be nice enough to, you know, give me some water. Like, I understand, you know, yes, people have money. Yes, I do occasionally have money, and I will go in there, but I shouldn't have to, like, use my money if I just want some hydration. I can understand, you know, wanting, you know, a soda or something. Yeah, I'll buy that. I would actually buy that. But if I just want something to drink, you know, to, like, get me moving throughout the day, perk up my energy, there should be nothing wrong with stepping in and just asking for, I mean, I'm guessing I'm, what I'm trying to say is, I just want, you know, maybe if you can get the water fountains back working, and like maybe it would be less of a hassle. I won't have to worry about needing certain things to be able to get water from businesses. I like the businesses here, and I occasionally go in them all the time, and I buy stuff from them, and they're really cool, they're really nice to me, but I'm just saying people should maybe a little more lighten up on the water situation. It might be just a me thing, but I don't know. That's pretty much all I had.
Thank you. And it's definitely something we could bring up when we move through our agenda this evening.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on tonight? Look to my right. Was there anyone to the right who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? All right, thank you, everyone. Pardon. So we're going to move on to our second public comment. The second public comment is reserved for any agenda items, any ordinances or resolutions. We didn't have anyone sign up in advance, so again, I'll go around the room. This is comment for anything that council's voting on tonight. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything being voted on tonight? Is there anyone in the wide center who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? And was there anyone to the right who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? All right, that concludes our public comment. Thank you, everyone. So moving on to old business. Excuse me. Any old business from members of council? Any new business from members of council? Councilwoman Leo?
since we're talking about water access, I did want to give a little bit of background to what we have been working on. We have been working on access to water in parks. We've talked about it quite a lot with Public Works. There's an incredible amount of infrastructure that might have to be later re-looked at or rebuilt up, but water access, I know I've talked to other people on council, water access for me is just a basic right, and we continue to push for water access, at least in our parks, as a bare minimum, and we continue to work with Mr. Alcon, Public Works, to accomplish that. It's very important to us, too.
Thank you, Councilwoman Leon. Any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
Mike, do we know how many water fountains we have around in the city?
19.
19? And how many of them work? Are the 19 working, or some of them weren't working?
Many, unfortunately, are currently not working. Of the 19, I think is 5 or 6 work, and the rest, over time, they fell into disrepair. We're talking back as far back as 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The combination of that and at least in the past, what I'm told is there's not much demand for them. And the combination of that and them falling in disrepair, some significant where there was water line leaks and what have you, and they weren't fixed, and then they just weren't upkept.
Is it the piping under the ground, or is it, I mean, that'd be a major fix, but or is
most
it
of them had underground piping problem. Issues. Is, yeah. Eventually, and that's why they were somewhat unofficially abandoned, just not being paid any attention. And then, you know, with COVID, it's happened over a long period of time where the common attitude was they're just not in demand, or they're not needed, they're not worth maintaining. And now, like I said, we've been revisiting that, and. For example, at Fairview, we installed one there. We put a meter on it, again, to just to see how utilized it is, to help guide our approach of what we're going to do. But it may obviously lead to, I'm told it was very difficult to maintain all the, you know, they were vandalized often, and they needed attention repeatedly. That combined with at least the perception of not being in demand is why we have the situation that we have.
Thank you.
Mr. Cowan, I would just add to that is, I mean, obviously it's something that's come up before. In an ideal situation, we want to be able to do it. As we said, Fairview Park last year, I think it's something in Friendship Park. I think it's a completely legitimate thing for us to take a look at and look at those costs. As Mike had said, some of those costs probably are, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars because you're looking at old piping and things like that, but it's probably a systemic question that is deserving of an answer. But when we're doing new parks and new buildings, it's something, or new park builds, like we said, Fairview at 4th and Market, it was something that was obviously a lot cheaper to put in than to retrofit something old in there. But it's something we can talk about and try to get council just kind of a systemic answer to.
Good. I mean, I obviously know that if it's the underground piping, it's going to be extensively and expensive. Can we find out if the ones that aren't working, how many of those are just like a quick fix and maybe it's a new water
fountain? We went around and we took an inventory of all of them. That's why I can tell you these numbers off the top of my head, because they weren't being paid attention to. Just about all the ones that are not working have extensive problems with both leaky pipes leading to the fountains. The fountains obviously are old and you have to replace it completely, obviously. So I would say at minimum each location is thousands of dollars to bring back into service. And if they're, that's why we're also looking at the demand, because if they're needed, even if the demand isn't that much, but if the consensus is we need to provide that amenity, then we'll have to do that, and we'll have to incur the cost and do it. But we want to have the fact before we go ahead and commit.
How many parks do we have in the city? 7?
Small and large at 27, something like 27 plus or minus. Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment, and then I'll turn it over to Mayor Reynolds for further comment on that. I appreciate that. This isn't something I really honestly gave a ton of thought to recently, other than my own personal experience now with the my toddler that my wife and I try to take out to our city parks. And as we, just the new norm, we get away from, as a community, using the single-use plastic water bottles. Now look up here at the table, we have a couple bottles. I was not too long ago at a national park hiking. You couldn't even buy a bottle of water. Everyone was expected to bring their own bottle of water to be able to fill. So as we all use our parks, and I understand there's a cost benefit, not to, we don't want to deny people water, that's not what I mean, but I also understand, like with any infrastructure project, to the point that brought up, there's a price tag set to that. So I appreciate the update, and as Mayor Reynolds alluded to, some of the other parks, and Mr. Alcoy alluded to Fairview, and as we look at Friendship Park and looking at where it's feasible to incorporate maybe the bringing these water lines, these water fountains in service, as there's other projects and investments going on there, maybe a wiser use of time and dollars than all these individual projects. But I heard you reference this decades. This isn't something that they all didn't go out of service last summer or since COVID. This is sort of something that just wasn't prioritized. So I do appreciate, from what I gather from Councilwoman Leone and Mayor Reynolds and Mr. Alcohol, this isn't something that just came up tonight. This is something that's been discussed. So we appreciate it, and I think it's something that moving forward down at an appropriate time down the road, just keeping us informed on what that's looking like. Yeah. Mayor Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of things. One is, I think it goes without saying, I don't know if the gentleman's still here, is that if you stop by City Hall, we're never going to turn you away from any water. And this is a place that someone's going to walk in. And I would hope, I think all of us at our house, wherever we're living, if somebody came by and they were looking for a glass of water, I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're all going to be like, absolutely. And I would hope, and I would second his general spirit, that I would hope that if somebody stopped by, that most places, obviously there's a line, as with everything, that most places would be like, this person is hot and looking for a glass of water, and we could give it to them. I would just think, because I think that's an even easier solution, is that we all would be kind to do that. And like I said, if somebody ever stopped by City Hall, and that happens sometimes, that this would be a place. It is tied to our conversation we've had sometimes about public bathrooms as well, in different places. We've obviously dealt with some vandalism, things like that. Obviously, there's faucets in there. People are able to get water. Being able to, and like I said, it's not exactly the same situation, but it's a related conversation that in some of our parks where there are public bathrooms that have been vandalized or damaged for thousands of dollars, and trying to find a way to necessarily do it. We're doing the same conversation downtown because public bathrooms keep coming up. But I think it's a very worthy one. But I would just tell, I would very much second the gentleman's thought. I would hope most people, if they saw someone that was thirsty, would be like, let's give this person a glass of water. But we can absolutely continue to talk about it and get you some more answers.
Any other new business from members of council? Councilman Cramsey-Smith?
Yeah, just on that topic, I'm just wondering, and this is a reach, but I'm wondering if maybe we can look like for any grants or something, because I'm thinking it's so related to so many things. It's related to climate change. We had our hottest summer last year. God knows this summer may be just as hot, if not hotter, so that's an issue. It's a conservation issue. It's a climate change issue. I'm wondering, like, through DC NR or EPA, or if you know, we can look through our grant writer to see, you know, it's a reach, but maybe there's some grants out there that can help us to get some of these water fountains up and running. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other new business for members of council? Councilwoman Kwiatek?
I've been told, because there was no agenda item 7C, that I am to read this during new business. The Community Development Committee met this evening at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed one agenda item, the 2024 FAIR hearing report. The committee held the annual Financial Accountability Incentive Reporting, or FAIR, hearing required by Article 349 and reviewed economic development incentive reports submitted by the administration. The meeting was for informational purposes only and no action was taken. Hillary G. Kwiatek, Chairperson, Community Development Committee.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Moving on from new business, communications, Mr. Miller, Communications 6A.
May 8th, 2024 memorandum with a proposed resolution from Director of Water and Sewer Resources Edward Boscola. Mr. Boscola recommends a contract with Michael Afranca and Sons Incorporated of Bethlehem to include two change orders to use up all remaining unencumbered funds in the PennVest account to replace as many lead serviced water lines as possible. Change order will increase the number of lines being replaced from 200 to 413. Two change orders equal $286,330.44 and will bring the total project cost to $2,873,778.44. Contract shall run from the notice to proceed until May 30th, 2024. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10A is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
A May 14th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Economic and Community Development. Ms. Collins requests a resolution of support in applying to the state for a grant through the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program. The application seeks more than $1 million to provide second floor expansion at the National Museum of Industrial History. City serves as a pass-through agent and no match is required.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A May 14th, 2024 memorandum and proposed resolution from Laura Collins, Director of Economic and Community Development. Ms. Collins requests a resolution of support in applying for a Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development grant. The grant seeks $250,000 to assist in development of the Greenway Trail Gap following the acquisition of property.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda this evening. 6D.
A May 21st, 2024 memorandum with an attached resolution from Fire Chief Michael Reich. Chief Reich recommends the Council adopt a resolution updating the City of Bethlehem's Emergency Operations Plan for a declared disaster to be filed with the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency. Most of the changes are minor plan and phone contact updates.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A May 14th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John Osberg Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Juneteenth Lehigh Valley and the sub-permittee is Arts Quest to hold the 2024 Juneteenth Lehigh Valley Music Festival. The event date is June 15th, 2024 from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Duration of the permit is from 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. on June 15th. Specified premises is First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between the First and Second Streets.
And Resolution 10E is on the agenda. 6F.
May 14th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John Osberg Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is the Portuguese American Club of Bethlehem and the event is the 2024 Portuguese Heritage Day Festival. Event times are 5 to 10 p.m. on June 7th and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on June 8th. The duration is 1 to 10 p.m. on June 7th and 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. on June 8th. Specified premises is Rink Street from Broadhead Avenue to the end of the Portuguese American Club parking lot as shown on an attached exhibit.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. 6G.
A May 14th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John Osberg Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Christmas City Spirits LLC and the sub-permittee is the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Bethlehem. The event is the Vintage Market. The event times are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on June 1st and July 6th. The duration is 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. on June 1st and July 6th. Specified premises are located adjacent to the Sun Inn Courtyard as specified in an attached exhibit.
And Resolution 10G is on the agenda. 6H.
A May 14th, 2024 memorandum from Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church, and the event is the 2024 Holy Infancy Cultural Celebration. Event times are 5 to 10 p.m. on June 14th and noon to 10 p.m. on June 15th. Duration varies from 8 a.m. until 11 p.m. June 10th through June 18th. Specified premises are Lawford Streets between Pierce and Buchanan Streets and Pierce Street between East Packer Avenue and East 5th Street.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. 6I.
A May 15th, 2024 memorandum with a proposed resolution from DCED business manager Tiffany Wismer. Ms. Wismer recommends a contract with HDR Engineering Incorporated of Bethlehem, which will use a research form to provide a regulatory database search as well as other research methods to determine whether environmental contamination is present on a desired site involving the Greenway and surrounding properties. Cost is $7,500. Work is to be done by June 30th, 2024. There are no renewals.
And that resolution is 10M on the agenda this evening. Moving on to reports. Continuing to talk about the curative amendment, council will continue a curative amendment hearing at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, June 11th here in Town Hall. That date is now confirmed. I mentioned it at the last council meeting. This hearing was requested by BHX LLC, which is the equitable owner of property proposed for development as the Hanover Apartments. The curative amendment requests removing any building length limitation from the CL zoning district. The first night of this hearing was held on April 30th, and again, this is a continuance of that. I don't have anything else to report this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. I have several topics to talk about, then a couple administrative orders, but I didn't want to start by allowing Chief Cott obviously we had the situation that we had read about in the newspaper yesterday, and I wanted to allow Chief Cott the opportunity to speak, and then if any council member had any type of question that she's able to answer, I wanted to just start out the mayor's report that way. So Chief Cott, maybe you want to make some opening remarks.
So last week we announced the arrest of Costa Celestis, a former Bethlehem police officer, following allegations that he had inappropriate contact with a minor. Costa Celestis was assigned as a school resource officer at East Hills Middle School in the Bethlehem Area School District. Upon receiving the report from the Bethlehem Area School District alleging misconduct, the Bethlehem Police Department immediately initiated both a criminal and internal investigation. As a result of the criminal investigation, sufficient evidence was gathered to warrant the arrest of Mr. Celestis. As a result of the internal investigation, Mr. Celestis was terminated and is no longer employed by the City of Bethlehem Police Department. I want to reiterate that the Bethlehem Police Department takes allegations of professional conduct and public trust violations very seriously. We are fully committed to upholding the higher standards of integrity and accountability within our ranks. Any behavior that undermines public trust or violates the law will be swiftly and decisively addressed. I would also like to take a moment to reemphasize that the actions of one individual do not reflect the values or professionalism of our department. The Bethlehem Police Department remains dedicated to upholding our mission of serving and protecting the community with honor and integrity.
Thank you, Chief Cott. And just two quick things to add to that is, first of all, we're going to continue to take a look internally within the police department and work with the school district, with Mr. Barada, who has been extraordinarily helpful during the situation, to take a look at our internal procedures, to take a look at all of the different things that we're able to do to obviously make sure something like this does not happen again. That will be an ongoing conversation. And I do want to thank Mr. Broad as well, who's been extraordinarily helpful, who has been working closely with the chief and with our department and with us as we over the past couple of weeks. But I also do want to say, I've had an opportunity over the past week or so to both visit, to pay a visit to our department during roll call and talk to a lot of officers. And as you can imagine, there is a very, very, very high degree of anger within our police department. I think a lot of us know many of these police officers for a number of years, and they appreciate the fact that our police department has a different history and a different relationship with our citizens than you see in a lot of other cities, and that's because of the quality of our officers. So there has been a very noticeable level of anger, obviously, with what this individual is accused of, what was laid out, and what he was charged with. But at the same time, this is obviously a situation that, as I said last week, what he's charged with it's just horrific. We are going to continue to take a look at our internal procedures and work with the police department and talk to the school district and work with the district attorney's office on any potential type of changes that need to be made going forward.
And we typically don't open up to questions during the mayor's report, but I will, given the circumstances. I'm just going to start with, we do recognize there's still ongoing investigations. There's still a potential criminal trial that's going to be pending in the future. So understanding the sensitivities to those circumstances, I do appreciate, Chief Cott, your report and what's been made public and just the swiftness with which this happened and the collaboration between the
the school district, the district attorney's office, and the police department for an arrest and intervention to happen as soon as possible, given all these circumstances. I think there's more conversation to be had in the future as the investigation continues to play out and decisions are made regarding what things look like policy-wise, procedure-wise, and how things continue to take shape. But I will turn it to my colleagues to see if anyone else wanted to make any comment relative to Chief Cott's report regarding the arrest we read about. Mr. Callahan?
I just want to thank the Chief Cott, the school district, and our administration for the transparency in all of it. It's obviously disgusting the thing that happened, the alleged happened. It's a very tough thing to probably talk about on all ends. And I appreciate the openness and the coming forward of this. And everybody was as transparent as possible, so thank you very much. On a very difficult situation, so thank you.
Any other comments from members of council? Ms. Laird, next.
Two questions. One is, has a resource officer been reassigned to the school to fill that gap, or is there a pause on that position right now? How is that being handled?
So that position hasn't been refilled yet. That is something that we're looking to do over the summer, is to get someone trained up to pick the right personnel to go into the school.
Okay. And I don't know how this works in terms of where duty falls for offering support to the school community, not even just the direct victim, but the broader school community, the kids who have had their trust shaken. Is there any outreach currently happening from the city, or do you know of what the school district is offering to the school community?
So we've been in constant contact with Dr. Silva, and as someone who is not only a law enforcement officer, but a proud parent of two Bethlehem Area School District children, we are in constant contact, and he has assured me that the school district is offering every and any support that they can to the students, to the faculty, to anyone that may have been affected by this despicable incident, the actions of this individual.
I believe they have counselors available, and they're going to continue to have counselors available. And I also believe the school district scheduled something as far as talking to parents about how to talk to their students about this. But I do know, as Chief said, that Dr. Silva has pledged as long as it needs to happen or ongoing and things like that. And you really hit at it as far as the trust is concerned. And, you know, when situations like this happen, it affects anybody that's in a position of authority as far as whether or not it's a parent, a teacher, a guidance counselor, police officers. I mean, their whole job there is to build trust with the young people. That has been hurt, and I think everybody acknowledges that, is doing everything they can in the short term, but also very open to conversations about what those long term things look like to improve that situation.
Thank you,
Councilman Cramsey, sir.
Thank you. This is definitely a difficult topic, and I just want to say that my heart goes out in support to the victim and families and all the students and all those in the district, and also to our police officers, because I'm sure they're really shattered by the trust and the confidence that was shattered by this officer. I'm in a unique position because as a counselor I sit on the side of counseling students who are victims of these horrific acts, but I also have been really fortunate to sit with many police officers and have them really tremendously help my students. And I've been fortunate, there's just some great officers that I've worked with in our schools together. And I guess I just want to say publicly that there, and I'm sure hopefully everybody knows this, that there are many, many, many more wonderful police officers who are compassionate and caring than these very few who just are, for whatever reason, very, very ill and commit such horrific acts. But you have all my support.
Any other questions for Chief Cotton or Mayor Reynolds relative to this? Mr. Callahan?
I just want to add, is it Sergeant Elias now?
Yes, Sergeant Elias.
I would just ask, I don't know what your process is in trying to find a replacement here. I was a teacher over at Freedom High School for 25 years. I probably had four or five different resource officers over at Freedom, and I was in Northeast for five. And I can tell you without any doubt, Officer Elias is probably the best resource officer I had observed in 30 years. And so I don't know what your interviewing process is, but I would, if you feel comfortable, I would highly recommend it. Someone like him who has a lot of experience in it and knows the temperament and the, just the line between professionalism and, because our police officers do an unbelievable job, I think, with our citizens and acting like a concerned citizen themselves. I think that's why our police officers have such a great rapport with our citizens. And I think that when you're a school resource officer, you are trying to have that same rapport with students, but without crossing a friendship line at all. And I think he has that mixture dead on perfect. I mean, he knows how to talk to kids that are upset about things, but he also knows how to, do what's right on a professional manner. So, I don't know if you could add him into the interviewing process, but I think he'd be an asset. So, thank you.
Anything else from members of council? Thank you, Chief Cotton. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And just transitioning then to the report. Last Friday, we unveiled our new health van, Massive Park. We had a big park event over there, and that's a big deal. It took a process for us to get it, but that health van is obviously going to be mobile as far as doing preventative care, different health screenings, vaccinations, a lot of different things that are going to help out our health bureau. We did last Wednesday have our second quarterly opening doors meeting. I know several people on council were there, where we had reviewed our progress with Choice Neighborhoods, Gateway and Fourth, the eviction prevention. We did talk about that pilot project with the ADUs. A lot of the questions from the audience came about that. That wasn't necessarily part of the presentation. I actually think we had talked about a lot of the other stuff as much, but that did seem to be, people had questions about the ADU pilot project much more so than some of the conversation there. But I do want to thank Ms. Satula and Ms. Collins and everyone that had worked there, including our partners. For those of you that were there, we've talked often about how when we are looking at housing, or looking at any real thing, it's about what coalitions we can put together and who we can work with. So we had representatives from North Bend Legal Services, and Ms. Smith was there from CADCD. So it was another good night. Last Thursday, we had our Bike to Work event here at the city, which went particularly well. A lot of excitement about our focus on biking and walking. Over the weekend, we also had brought back, first time I don't think ever in the Recreation Bureau, brought back our basketball 3-on-3 tournament down in St. Island, which had been a number of years in the making. So we were happy about that. We had to delay it one day because of the rain from Saturday to Sunday, but we had a very good turnout. We had a lot of help from the Liberty Freedom basketball coaches, so I just wanted to say that. And then my last update before I turn to our administrative orders is the Memorial Day Parade is on Monday at 9 a.m. So if you're able to make it, it's a short one. Starts right outside there in front of Liberty High School, goes up to Memorial Cemetery. So that will be usually that's one of those days when everybody appreciates living in the city of Bethlehem and the service of our veterans and everyone that served our country. So then, with that being said, I will move on to our two administrative orders. The first one is sitting right next to me here, and that is our new fire chief, Michael Reich. And before I ask him to make some comments that preclude his appointment, I do want to just first thank Chief Aki over 30 years in the fire department. He's a Marine, so I want to thank him for his service to the city. And then also I want to just introduce Mr. Reich here. who has a level of service, who has been involved in firefighting for, I think, what, 36 years? Is that correct? 36 years, 24 with the city of Bethlehem, and just a man of integrity, a passion of service to the city. I think that he is going to make a fantastic team with our deputy, Chief Bear. And I just, you know, couldn't be more excited to be welcoming Mr. Reich to the seat. I think one thing you're going to find, as you know, we require of everybody around here, is that the answer is never. That's what, because that's the way I want to do it. Mr. Reich is organized. He is thorough. He is responsive as far as, like, this is the rationale, this is the reasoning, this is where we're coming from, and things like that. And even just in the last, you know, 10 days since the Chief Hockey retired, I've been above and beyond impressed with Mr. Reich's professionalism and his excitement for the job. And, you know, I always think you can tell somebody, you know, you can tell their commitment to the work when you ask, like, how it's going. And it's not, he hasn't started with, I'm really excited to get to, he says that, but then he's like, there's a lot of work to do and there's a lot running through my mind. And that always, I think, his level of service is matching what he thinks are the opportunities, both with our firefighters and with our paramedics going forward. And with that being said, before I read the administrative order, I did want to allow Captain Reich for a few more seconds to the opportunity to make a few comments and introduce himself.
Michael Reich. Like the mayor said, I've been a firefighter for 36 years, 24 years with the city of Bethlehem. I'm a husband with an amazing, supportive wife. We have a blended family with five children and three grandchildren. So I'm a dad, a pappy. I've been a firefighter. I'm a hazmat technician. I'm an EMT. I've been an inspector. I've been a captain and currently the chief fire inspector. I do plan reviews for the city. And one thing that I've never been and I've never thought of being is the title of chief. And that, to me, is a point that we're at in the department where someone needs to step up and lead. And I have done that, met with the mayor, and I look forward to leading this department from the front by working with our firefighters, working with our union, working with our paramedics, and providing the best service for the city. We have wonderful trained staff that do an amazing job, and I want to help them do the job that they can do.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. So I hereby appoint Captain Michael Reich, 3141 Keystone Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18020, to the position of Fire Chief. And this appointment is effective as of May 21st, 2024.
Administrative Order 2024-24, recommending Michael C. Reich as Fire Chief. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on the appointment. Start with Mr. Callahan.
Mr. Reich, Chief Reich, soon. You come highly recommended. I had numerous people from all levels of the fire department, union, all levels of the unions, really speak highly of you. So I welcome you to your new post, and I wish you luck with it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilwoman Kramer, sir.
I'll second that. I want to say congratulations and thank you for being willing to stand up and take on a leadership role. I think it's obvious that there's been some concerns within the department over the last, you know, year or two or three, and it's really refreshing to know that everyone within the department is really looking very positively toward you taking the lead, and I'm really looking forward to you moving the department forward, so thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Leo?
I know we spoke already this week, but I'm very excited to have you. The weight of 78,000 people and their safety is on your shoulders. Definitely not an easy burden to carry, but you're stepping into a great role, new equipment, cool teams. So really excited to see the direction that you're going to take the department.
Councilwoman Willow.
I'd just like to join my colleagues in thanking and welcoming you. You have a very impressive list of accomplishments and titles, Pappy included. And we're very fortunate to have you. Thank you. Welcome.
Any other Councilwoman Laird?
I will join everyone else. You have come highly recommended. I've talked to a few different firefighters that I know and have reviewed your resume and appreciate you taking the initiative to step forward.
I guess I'll make it unanimous and say we're delighted to that you're taking this next step, and thank you for stepping up to take the lead. I did have a question. In the note about the emergency operations plan, the title for Fire Chief Wright also includes emergency management coordinator. Is that being blended into one role again?
Yeah, and it's going to be an ongoing conversation, and it is a title that Chief Wright has, which is consistent with other third-class cities. It's the same role that the fire chief plays in a lot of other cities. Exactly what that looks like. We also wanted to give Chief Wright the opportunity to build out, because that role obviously has changed a lot over the last 7-8 years since Mr. Novotnik had it. We obviously had it, you know, and he was doing one thing when we were going through the transition of 911 to the county, and then he was doing something else, obviously, during the pandemic. And then post-pandemic, it took on a different kind of various roles. So we have thought about where best to necessarily fit those roles, and some of that has been decided, but some of that also I want to defer to Mr. Wright in a conversation with Mr. Wright and our police department about who's going to do what going forward.
Thanks. Absolutely. Keep a surprise.
I just want to also echo the mayor's words about thanking Chief Ahi, the outgoing chief, for his years and decades serving the city of Bethlehem in the last number as the chief. And also I'll be supporting Mr. Reich's appointment tonight. I don't know if Chief was ever in your career plan, but I sure am glad that you stepped up. As was already said by many, your experience within the department and being a leader in the department up until this point speaks for itself. And I thank you for answering that internal call to move on to the chief of this department. So thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Congratulations, Chief Wright.
Thank you. And even though your vote is the thing that confirms it, we are swearing him in tomorrow at 10 a.m. If anybody is free to come down for that swearing-in ceremony. And then my other administrative order is I hereby appoint Thomas Arizoni, 1110 West Market Street, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to the Fine Arts Commission, and this appointment is effective through December 2026.
Administrative Order 2024-23, recommending Thomas Arizoni Fine Arts Commission. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatkowski and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion on the appointment? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 7-0.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, we have one. Mr. Miller, please read Bill 16-2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 16-2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Mr. Callahan.
I will be recusing myself. I've known Arrakis for decades.
Mr. Callahan, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think you're referencing Resolution 10A. We're on Ordinance 8A.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
It happens to all of us.
I had it crossed off on my sheet.
Any other discussion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 7-0. We have no new ordinances tonight. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Michael F. Ronka and Sons Incorporated to replace additional lead service water lines. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatkowski and Ms. Leone.
Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. I apologize for that. I will be recusing myself from voting. I had they've been long time friends of mine. And, although there are different two different sides of the family, I did receive a $500 campaign contribution from Mike LaFranca and Sons, this side, probably about 14 months ago. So I wasn't on council when it had passed. So I appreciate you notifying me of that, because I wasn't on council when that got passed. Otherwise, I would not have known. So I appreciate it, and I will be recusing myself. Thank you.
Understood. Any other discussion from members of council? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
I recuse.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0 with one recusal. 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller are authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary for the $1.5 million RACP grant on behalf of the National Museum of Industrial History, and that the Mayor and Controller are authorized to execute such other agreements and documents as are deemed necessary and or related to thereto. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? I just had a couple quick questions relative to the, and then Ms. Collins or Mayor Reynolds, whomever, this is simply the application, correct? We have to wait for an award.
Actually, with RCAP, we have traditionally passed the resolution after we received the grant agreement from the state. So this, the Commonwealth has already awarded the grant.
Great. So my next point was going to be, I know this was something that it's been discussed for a while. I know I and others have had the opportunity to tour over there at the museum. I know they definitely have a need for more space and to incorporate their programming and other activities. So I'm very happy. I know it took time, like a lot of things, as it relates to the application and the process and things like that. So it's very encouraging to see significant state dollars continuing to come through City Hall and going out to our community. And I know this is a project that's been talked about for some time now. So thank you, everyone in your department, Ms. Collins, that worked on this, and congratulations to the museum. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the official with the title of Mayor is authorized and directed to execute all agreements and documents necessary for the $250,000 grant through the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. The grant is for the purposes of development of the Greenway Trail Gap following acquisition of the property. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leone.
Discussion?
Just a comment. We've had a few things come up to vote on regarding the gap, the Greenway gap, and I'm just really happy to see that moving forward, hopefully. It's been a long time in the works to be able to start here and end up way far away. So thank you for all your work on this.
Ms. Leo?
I just want to echo that. The Greenway has been an economic powerhouse for the South Side and has really been an incredible asset to us. And closing that gap is going to continue to allow access and getting all the way down the Stocking Park. So it's really great to see these things coming in.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor is hereby authorized to adopt the City of Bethlehem Emergency Operations Plan dated May 21st, 2024. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Moving on to 10E, Ms. Laird.
Can I make a motion, please, to vote on the 10E through 10H as a group, the approved use permits?
So to repeat that, your motion, Ms. Laird, we've done this, I think, at the last meeting,
yeah,
would be to consider all the use permit agreements. So that would be agenda items 10E through 10H as one group. Am I restating that correctly?
Yes.
Second.
All right, motion by Ms. Laird, second by Mr. Callahan. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion to consider them as a group.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Motion passes 7-0. Please read the four use permit agreements.
Resolutions 10E through 10H are all sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon. Resolution 10E, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Juneteenth Lehigh Valley for the 2024 Juneteenth Lehigh Valley Music Festival. Resolution 10F, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Portuguese American Club of Bethlehem for the 2024 Portuguese Heritage Day Festival. Resolution 10G, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits LLC for the Vintage Market. And Resolution 10H, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Holy Infancy Roman Catholic Church for the 2024 Holy Infancy Cultural Celebration.
Any discussion on the group of use permit agreements?
This isn't. It's an awesome group of events. I love festival season in Bethlehem.
I'm sure we'll have more on a future agenda also for some reason. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. The group passes 7-0. I'll accept another motion and then a second to consider resolutions 10I through 10L as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Leon, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to consider the certificates of appropriateness as a group? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. The motion passes 7-0. Please read the COAs.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, are hereby granted for 422 Heckewelder Place to repair and place masonry joints as necessary, place roofing materials and repaint all surfaces, 424 Main Street to replace slate shingle roofing, 450 High Street to tie existing backyard fencing into new fencing at the rear of the house. The fence will be aluminum and color that matches the house, and for 505 and 507 Main Street to replace the sign above the front window. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the group? Call roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And our last resolution, 10M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with HDR Engineering Incorporated to perform research on the environmental history of the property. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. That wraps up tonight's agenda. Get home safe, everyone, and have a safe Memorial Day. Meeting is adjourned.
Can you hear Brian?
Yes.
Hey,
you have to